Welcome back to Vertical Vision. Today I want to talk about the issue of loving God. And I think for me, the big thing at first is, well, what does that even mean to love God? Because we talk about love in such a loose way. We love sports teams. We love TV shows. We love music. We love our families. We love God. So what exactly does it mean to love, and specifically to love God? The Bible uses a word very frequently for the word love, and it's the word agape. And what this word means is to value somebody, to hold them in high esteem, to respect them, to find your joy and pleasure in that person, and it means to have affection and desire for that person. And it can also apply to things as well, but it's primarily toward a person, okay? And so if we're going to love God, what this means is we're going to hold him in high esteem. We're going to respect him. He is going to be the source of our joy and our delight. And we're going to have this attraction and affection and desire for him. And, you know, for God to command, why does he command us to love him? Is he, you know, self-centered? Is he insecure? You know, is he self-absorbed? Of course not. The reason why he wants us to love him is because we are designed to live in a love relationship, an intimate relationship with God. All you have to do is go back to the Garden of Eden when God created Adam and Eve, and he met with them every day. We're told that, you know, he walked in the cool of the morning and sought out Adam and Eve, and he sought to spend time with them, connect with them, engage with them. And this relationship was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I think we need to understand, too, that our relationship of love toward the Lord is really something that is a response to his love toward us. The Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, he says this about love. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So if you're looking for a good example of what it is to love somebody, it's not that we love God. He is lovable. He is good, gracious, kind, merciful. He is the embodiment of love. So it's not surprising that we would love him. The best illustration of what love truly is his love toward us, that he would value us and desire us and have an affection for us to the point that he would send Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, to be a sacrifice to pay for our sins, to take all of the wrath of God upon himself so that God could forgive us and adopt us as his sons and daughters. That's love. It's putting us before himself and seeking our good and our benefit at the expense of himself. And it's just totally mind-blowing. And John goes further in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. He says, we love because he first loved us. So Jesus is really the one who initiates this love, and God the Father initiates this love. And they have expressed their love toward us through the cross and through their faithfulness and their provision and their goodness. And, you know, God is good not just to Christians, but he's good to non-Christians too. You know, the Bible talks about he makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. He makes it to rain on the property of the just and the unjust. He is a good God, and he desires people to come into a relationship with him. That's why Jesus came to die for us. And so that's this understanding of love that we're to have to him. It's actually reciprocal. It's giving back what he's already giving to us. And Jesus, when he's quoting Deuteronomy, saying that we're supposed to love the Lord with all our, you know, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, it's that we're supposed to regard and esteem, respect, and desire God the Father with everything we have. You know, our hearts are the seat of our emotions, our passions and desires. So there's feeling there. It's not this sterile relationship, you know, where there's no feeling or emotion. The Bible speaks of our relationship with Christ as a bridegroom and us as the bride. And, you know, in the Old Testament, God is the husband, Israel is the wife. And then there's the love of God the Father to his children. And so it is a very intimate, very emotional relationship that we're to have with him. So God's supposed to be the main desire, the main love, the main affection of our lives. And we're supposed to love him with all our soul as well. And, you know, we don't really talk about the soul a whole lot, but really what it is it's that immaterial, non-material part of us that is uniquely us. It's our personality, it's our identity, it's our personhood. It's who makes us, it's what makes us who we really are, apart from any other human being on the face of the planet. And this word soul is the Greek word psuche, and it's used interchangeably with life. And Jesus talks about, you know, if you want to be my disciple, you have to hate your mother, father, brother, sister, even your own life in order to be my disciple. And Jesus isn't saying we need to hate our families, okay? The word of God, one of the laws is to honor our mother and father. So he's not telling us to hate our parents, okay? But as far as who has the highest regard, the highest love and affection and esteem in our lives, it should be God above any other person, even family, and even our own life. And it's that word psuche for life. So our own personhood, everything that makes up who we are, should take a back seat to our affection for God. And then we're supposed to love him with all of our mind, our intellect, our thoughts, and, you know, anything that we think, anything that we are allowing into our minds should please him and should honor him. And it talks about this in Philippians, where whatever is good and noble and lovely and pure and commendable, these are the kind of things that we need to bring into our minds and to think on, because they're the good things, the pure things, the right things, the things that please the Lord. And I think it's so important for us to keep that in mind, because, you know, as Christians, our lives are, our bodies really are the temples, the dwelling places of the Holy Spirit. We are temples of God. And so we have to be very careful what we allow into God's house. And really, if we love him and we respect him and honor him, anything that we would think on, it's like, will this please the master of this home? Because Jesus bought these houses with his own blood. And it cost him everything to make us his dwelling places. So we want to honor him by what we think about. And then, of course, our strength or our might. And that's just our energy. And it's just this entire picture of everything that we are, our affections, our intellect, our strength. And our very person, our identity, should all have this ambition to respect the Lord and to bless him and to please him and give him the honor and the affection that he's due. After all, he did this for us. You know, he loves us emotionally. He loves us with his heart. He loves us with his life. Jesus laid down not just his physical life, but he laid down his identity, if you will, when he was seated at the right hand of the Father. We're told that he laid aside his heavenly glory and he took on a body of flesh and blood and became a servant to the point of going to the cross and being a sacrifice for us. Now, he laid all that he was aside for you and me. He loves us with all of his power. And I would say he loves us with his intellect as well. The Lord cares about us. He is passionate for us. And we are of great value to him. And we need to reciprocate that love. And here's the thing. Why is this so important that we would need to love God? One, he deserves it. But the other reason is because it helps us stay on track. Think of it this way. If you have, let's say, a husband and a wife, and they are both reciprocating love to each other, they're putting each other first, they're respecting each other, they're serving each other, and they're pouring into each other's lives, then that relationship is going to be healthy, it's going to be strong, it's going to be beautiful, and everything that that relationship touches is going to benefit from that love relationship. Children, friendships, everything, work, you name it, everything is going to benefit out of that wonderful relationship between those two people. But if it goes sideways and one of those people begin to focus on themselves and become self-centered, or they begin to love and give their affection to another person or to another thing, they get wrapped up in their careers or their hobbies or something else, then that relationship is going to begin to suffer. And it's going to deteriorate, and everything else is going to suffer with it. And the Lord wants our lives to be strong and blessed. He wants our lives to enjoy the fullness of a relationship with him. Because when we're connected with him and we're intimate with him, everything else falls into place. And it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of just that life centered on Christ. Remember, Jesus said, you know, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. You don't need to worry about other things. You put God first, and you put your attention and affections on him, and everything else will fall in line as you're living your life in tandem with the God who loves you with everything that he has. So then you got to ask yourselves, okay, so this is important because it keeps me on track and it keeps me from, you know, going down paths of sin and missing God's best for my life and all. How do I actively show love to God? Well, we can do it through worship, where, you know, we have worship songs, praise songs, and we are giving him that value, and we're telling him how important that he is to us. It's interesting to note that the word worship in the Bible means to kiss toward. So we're blowing kisses, if you will, toward the Lord as we worship him. But another way to worship him is our very life. Because in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it talks about how we are to give our bodies as a living sacrifice that's holy and separate to the Lord. So again, we're honoring Him by giving our bodies to Him, allowing Him to be honored and blessed and to you know, serve Him with our bodies. And it says that's our reasonable service of worship. So as we live for the Lord, we're actively honoring Him. We're worshiping Him. We're loving Him. And Jesus put it this way. He said, "Let your light so shine before all men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And again, it's that picture of if we're living our lives as Christ would have us, it is going to put the Lord in a good light. It's going to honor Him. And people are going to look at our lives and go, "Wow, you're really different. Your attitudes are different. The way you treat people are different. Everything about you is just, it's sweet. It's good. Why?" And we can point them to our Heavenly Father, and He gets honor. So we're loving Him by serving Him in our daily life, just by the way we live in tandem with the heart of Christ. The other big way to worship and love the Lord is obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And He even talked about how the world knows that He loves the Father because He does what the Father says. He obeys the Father. So we're just doing the same thing that Jesus is doing. And we're following in His footsteps when we obey the Lord. So we have the Word of God. And as we're spending time in the Bible, and the Lord is teaching us and showing us the way that we're supposed to live and instructing us about things in our lives, we need to take those things to heart and do them. Okay? We don't want to just be hearers of the Word, but we want to be doers. We want to obey it. Because everything that God tells us to do is always for our good. So when we obey Him, we are honoring Him, we're respecting Him and loving Him. And a key factor of this obedience is really found in the second great commandment, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus said, "There's no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend." And that word life isn't the physical life alone. It's that psuche again. It's his whole being. And it's this idea of laying down our life for the betterment of another person, to serve them. So if we see somebody in need, if we can meet that need, then we need to do that. Rather than tearing down somebody, we need to build them up. If we really love somebody, we need to be honest with them and speak the truth to them. And that's a tough thing in our society today. A lot of people don't really want to hear the truth. They want to hear what makes them feel good. And I think we all have that desire, because sometimes when somebody tells us something that's true about our lives, it hurts. But if we really care about somebody, we're going to be honest with them because we want what's best for them. That's what Jesus does for us. He tells us the truth about where we are in relation to Himself so that we can repent, so that we can turn to Him, rely on Him, walk with Him, and have our lives be what He wants them to be. And so we need to have that idea of putting somebody else above ourselves. Again, this is what Jesus did for us. So when we love other people, we're just doing what our Heavenly Father does. We're just doing what Jesus does. And that blesses Him and it honors Him. So I would encourage you to take time to really just reflect with the Lord and ask Him to show you those times or those places, I should say, where you can be manifesting love to Him. Ask him to show you ways that you can give him respect and honor and affection. Ask him to change your heart and to make him your desire. And I know that the Lord will do that, because that's something that he wants. If he's telling us to love him with everything that we have, then if we go to him and ask him to help us do that, I know he's going to answer that, because the Bible tells us if we ask anything according to his will, we have the confidence that he's heard us and he will answer that prayer. So be encouraged in this. You have a heavenly Father who loves you. He values you. He esteems you. He desires you. And he has affection towards you. So does Jesus. And knowing that the Almighty God has such a heart for us, may we reciprocate that love back to him.